have good notes on here. Really, just kind of, I know you could say, Pastor, when are you not excited about the message? Amen. But there's just these seasons, and that there's these times where you just become singed by God to want to transfer. I'm going to say this in all honesty. As I was listening to praise and worship, here's a really good context. As I was listening and being a part of praise and worship, and then Pastor Jeremy, the honorable man of God who is filled with so much wisdom, I have gained so much knowledge of being in his sphere and being his brother and being in his close companionship. I just gained so much from Peter and Joanne, and everyone just loves when Kaylin sings because it comes out of a pure heart. Somebody say amen. And Zach, don't ever miss a beat. Somebody say amen. The point is that while I sat here, I was already full. I'm going to say that again. I was already full. And I don't know if it's because of the word of God that, you know, is prepared, or if it's just being in his presence, being in his what?
Presence.
But when you receive that kind of fullness, you know, there's only one thing left, let's say, for me to do, is to try to pass on that same fullness. As Pastor Jeremy says, that my cup runneth over. My desire is that wherever there's cup and excess of what God is filling us with, may everyone also have access. Because I know some of us are really always dealing with things. Got quiet in here. In other words, there are people that are dealing with things, or families are dealing with things. And if there's no other thing, because of the existential crisis that have existed over our land and over our globe, I would say this. I have not been so familiar with so many people on all levels to talk about the bigger things besides just the things that's going on in their life. In other words, people concerned about every single aspect that's not only happening here, but also there. And I just say that when you live in that kind of tension and you live in that kind of strain, God is the one who frees us. When we feel like we're empty and we haven't even done very much, it's God who fills us. When we feel like, you know what, if my God, can another situation happen? I say to you, God is the one who fills us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to share with you today, I want to start off with this particular slide, and it says skill. Everybody say skill.
Skill.
Turn to your neighbor and say skill. I don't necessarily want to wrap our eyes or hearts around the rest of those things, though they're good to talk about skill. But I want to talk about skill in a particular context today. And basically, here it is. Write it down. This is the message: how a single skill will see spiritual success be fulfilled for real. How a single skill will see spiritual success be fulfilled for real. Can you read that with me? Ready, set, read. How a single skill will see spiritual success be fulfilled for real. Amen. If you can get that, or take a picture of it, or prepare yourself for it, let's do this to try to break that down with some sense of simplicity. So let us first start here. From a talk and walkthrough of Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Now, I'm going to say this, even if you're less familiar with the scriptures, I just want to go through this a little bit in these 5 points. When we start off in Acts chapter 1, it's Jesus in the narrative, and he begins to speak as he is raised from the dead, and he's alive, and he's been there 40 days, and as he is there now, he is there, and he's speaking about the kingdom of God. He's speaking about the what? And then he tells his disciples to wait. He says, wait on what? Wait on the promise of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. And as a result of that, then we find them all gathered together in what we call the upper room, on one accord in prayer. In what? Come on, get ready for this. This is just a talk-through narrative. And then when we go into Acts chapter 2, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and fills all of them. Yeah. Hallelujah. So if this is simply a talk and a walkthrough, I want you to know, here are the scriptures in order for us to not just share it, but show it. In verse 3, you don't have to turn there. But in verse 3, Jesus presented himself alive. Jesus presented himself what?
Alive.
Later in that same verse, it says, speaking of the things pertaining to the what? Come on, everybody with me. Come on, I know we love teaching. Man, we're like an academic, you know, eloquent type of region and country place. I mean, region in our country. Let's get with the program. Let's get with the teaching. Look at this. Things pertaining to the what? In verse 4, he says, wait. Verse 4, he says what?
Wait.
Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus has breathed on them now, and they have received the Holy Spirit. But this has not been the outpouring of the Holy Spirit yet. Are everybody with me? But I want to distinguish that whatever measure of spirit that they were living in at this moment, he asked them to do something, and that was wait. That was what? In that same verse, it says, for the promise of the Father. He says, wait for the promise of the Father. You shall, and then in verse 8, I would like to define what that promise is. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive what?
Power.
When the
Holy Spirit
has
come upon you.
In verse 14, all these, in Amplified Bible, it says, and all these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together. Chapter 2, verse 4 says this. And when they were all gathered together, we know there was a rushing mighty wind. And they saw, as it were, cloven tongues of fire. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't filled with logic. They weren't filled with a strategy plan. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the what? I want to use this as a teaching template. Jesus Christ and his kingdom of God. I want to use as a template, wait. And there's that word that is not a bad word. And the word is patience. That's it, Brother Mark. The word is what?
Patience.
The word is patience. So Jesus Christ and his kingdom of God, and he said wait, which is the word what? And he said, wait for the promise. And I would like to define the promise is of God's presence and power. God's presence and power. And then we find them as he ascends into heaven. They gather together in the upper room and they are found in prayer. They are found in prayer. How many know something major was about to happen in life? I love how Pastor Christopher and others have said this before, and that is, we have the privilege of being on the other side of the scriptures, but can we place ourselves in the midst of what they were living like? So they concluded, we're going to go and we're going to spend time in what? And then after we know the election of Matthias, the Holy Spirit came. And I want to say this. This is what the promise was. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is God present with power. The Holy Spirit is God present with power. The Holy Spirit is what?
God present with power.
I want you to begin to put your heart and mind on things in your life, areas in which, where can Christ grow you? Where is an area by which you could have whatever measure you're in that God can increase it, that God can add to it, that God can direct you divinely, that God could dry a tear, that God could get in and change your banking and financial, that God could measure something that's related to relationships or school or scholarly work or whatever new endeavor in entrepreneurship. You've been trying to get that book copywritten and send it out, the poems you wanted to send, whatever it is, that blog you wanted to start, that Bible study you wanted to get in. You know what? It'll be a nice idea to be in the discipleship group, but I don't have any time. I want you to begin to fix your heart around what are you in need of? Because here is a teaching what? Template. So what skill are we talking about? It's a skill, and I want to call it a skill because no matter how we get there, it's a needed skill. And the needed skill in this particular portrayal is, you know, some of us have gained or have this skill naturally. And therefore, when we employ it, it doesn't seem like we're doing very much. Or it seems like everybody thinks, well, yeah, you can do that because you're easy at it or you're good at it. But whatever the skill is, it's not some of us that's just born with it, but it's also us that might, through the word of God, become renewed in our mind and we begin to apply it. In other words, this particular skill is not only needed, but it's also provided. There's either parts in our life that we can gain access to it, but if we cannot do that, it at least we have to come to the understanding that I can grow and gain it because it's available to me. Praise God. Everybody say skill. What skill is it? I want to speak today about the character of Christ. I know that we are in a generation and age now where churches and ministries, they do a great job. And I would even have reason to say that we likewise are found ourselves in it with today's modern churches is that we talk mostly about all the things that God does for us and because he deserves it all. Somebody say amen. Amen. We understand that it is all appropriated by grace. But I want to recognize that how many understand that there's a great deal of promises in the word of God that have ifs to it. There's a great deal of the things of God. That's good. There's a great deal of things that we want in our lives, and we feel like they're further away from us than they are close to us. It could be for our children. It could be a cycle that we're in. Wherever and whatever it might be, all I'm wanting you to get to go into is that what skill could you have increased in, and through that skill, you could begin to see more prayers answered. Quiet in here. Psalm 62, verse 1, 2, and 5 say this. Could you read them with me? Ready, set, read. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. Verse 5 says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. You do know this is an amen church, amen? Amen? This is a praise the Lord type church, all right? And I understand you're trying to figure it all out, and I even know especially many of y'all are trying to figure out where is he going with this. Another verse. We know this one real well. Psalms 27, a faithful passage. Would you read that with me? Ready, set, read. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. I will see the what? The Lord's what? Think about anything that you measure but you don't say out loud that doesn't feel good, that might be a little bad. He says, I am confident I will see the goodness. I will see the what? Goodness. You know, we are finding ourselves ministering to lots of families right now, like lots of families. And if you think that there are situations going on that are also far abroad, let me tell you, there are things that's going on abroad right out those doors. And we are in a midst of needing to partner with families and partner with school systems and partner with teens and partner with YoBCC and partner with children because they are growing up in more difficulties than we ever did. I'm saying that they're not going to be lost because Jesus is the finder. But when it says this, we want them to grow up and know the goodness of the Lord. We want our children to not think the world is bad, but much rather that the Lord's goodness is greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says what? Ready, said, read. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love this verse. Look at this. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. This is a good one. Look at this. Ready, set, read. But as for me, I will look to the Lord for help. I will wait confidently for the God of my salvation. Look what it says. My God will hear me. My God will hear me. Come on, everybody say that. My God will hear me. Two more times. My God will hear me. One more time. My God will hear me. You know what that means? Pray. Because he will hear you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God will hear me. Because if I pray, he will hear me. Our God will hear us. When we pray, God will what?
Hear us.
God will hear us. And I want you to revolve your hearts, especially on this verse. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, and I tell you, ready, said, read, and I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say till. Everybody say till. Can I get that, Derek, if you don't mind? Everybody say till. I want you to know today's message is called wait. Till. Wait. Till. What's that say? Can I get y'all to get with me a little bit? Say wait. When? Wait till. I need you to know something about this particular message, if that's okay. Can I tell you a little something about this message? This here message here, I had to learn this on a practical level. I had to get this out. Y'all do know that I want to talk about two of my driving instances that I first learned this. The first one is, I was taking my little girl, Tiana, over to Ames High. And as we live out on the west side of Ames, many times I would take Highland. Are you with me? And do y'all know the hill on Highland? And how many know the hill on Highland has a sign that looks like that side with a pedestrian, a crosswalk in the middle of going downhill? Now, I'm no engineer. But I would wonder why they put a crosswalk in the middle of going downhill. Are y'all with me? And especially when an ex-FedEx driver is driving. I'm not sure what their purpose and intention was, but one thing I am sure of is that in the midst of me driving, I would come down to that hill, and I'd be like, and they'd be, you know, college students in Ames, Iowa. They don't have streets. I mean, streets don't exist. Neither do cars. Right? Right? You're a good thing I got a downshift. Amen. Well, all I'm trying to say is that I often came, and as I would drive, I had to, what?
Wait till
they walk past. It doesn't mean that I wasn't going to be able to keep going. I can't get your help right there. It doesn't mean that I wasn't going to get to the other side. It doesn't mean that God wasn't going to cause me to go through. But I had to what? They crossed by. I want you to say something. We got Tiana to school every day. No one was ever hit. Amen. But I had learned, because I couldn't get on that side without going down Highland. So every time I got to Highland, I had to. Turn to your neighbor and say, wait till. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, wait till.
Wait till.
The second story I want to tell you about, I told it several years ago. It was a very memorable day, and many of you all may not know everything I did for FedEx, but one of the major things I did is I went down to the airport about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I had to have a lot of deliveries off by 8 a.m. in Ames, right? And so I would pick up the packages. Doesn't matter what time the plane came in, I had to have the deliveries off by 8. And so in all my tasks, this one day in particular, I remember flying up I-35. Now, it has a governor on it. I don't mean flying, okay? And as I was driving up 35, I would say, because I haven't lived in other places, but only in Iowa Does a combine drive down the interstate? A combine. And I'm like, what? Are you with me, right? That's just one little major obstacle. In a combine, you can't use the other lanes. You've got to wait till they get by. So I finally get past that one, and I keep going. I drop off the documents over at the station, and I'm going up Dayton, and all of a sudden, a tractor comes in front of me. This morning, I have a combine on the interstate and a tractor on Dayton. Is anybody with me? How many know they was trying to challenge Pastor? Are you with me? I had to go up to NVSL, which is further up Dayton, and I get past them. I said, you know what? I'm not going to take Dayton the rest of the way. I'm going to go jog over by Pizza Ranch, hook over there, and come over there. I hooked over there, and a man on a riding mower got in my way. I was like, what? I've never had this before. I'm like, combine? Tractor? Okay. And now I've got a lawnmower. I had to learn that day how to what? How many know there's some areas in our life that God helps us through practical things to teach us spiritual things? Because now I was really concerned about having late packages. Now I don't know if I can make it to the west side of Ames. Now I don't know if I'm going to have lates. I don't know if I'm going to have to answer to my boss. I don't know if it's going to be extra lates. I don't know that. Have you ever been there when you don't know what the end's going to be? I had left the airport earlier enough, but all of this waiting till may have caused me to be jeopardized. But I want many of us to know that many of us have prayers that we're still waiting on, and many of us have prophecies that we're still waiting on, and many of us have promises that we're still waiting on. Many of us have the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we're waiting on. Many of us are wishing that we could get out of debt that we've been waiting on. Many of us have been waiting for a relationship with somebody. But how many understand, it does not mean that you will not have it. It's just sometimes you gotta what? Come on and give God a big praise offering for that. Amen. Scholarship may not have come in, Carter said, but he had to what? And when he came out there with them drums, there was once a moment in his life where they thought he wasn't gonna be able to go. But how many know you gotta go to the? Turn to your neighbor and say, wait till. Hallelujah. How many know y'all thought that was the only one? Nope, I got to West Ames. I get to West Ames. And something else, I don't remember the one, but it was four of them. And the fourth one got it. And I just said, this is, I'm telling you, I was just ready to just park at the gas station. Amen. Just go walk home. I couldn't make them. You know what I'm saying? But I pulled up to that last one. I scanned the package. I walked in. And they were all on time. Somebody say amen. But how many know we've got to learn how to do what? We've got to learn how to wait till. So if this is the message, I want us to talk about a few things. What we will learn in this message is, first of all, I know this message requires at least 2 days. So I'm going to share the rest of it on next week. Is that all right? Amen. But I want to take us to a certain place today. So we get enough where God has filled us and nourished us. And I think somebody, hopefully, you're already gained something. Because this is the skill that you need in order to have spiritual success for real. If you really want to experience the things of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, you need a skill. And the skill is called wait till. The skill is called what? In this message, I want us to know this. Jesus is the person of prayer and how all things are possible. Listen, Jesus is the person of prayer. He's the what? You see, this is, I'm not intending to be this to be a series. I don't have a series title. I'm not trying to. But how many know in the first two messages, we talked, first of all, Sister Tony talked about you are enough. We came right behind that, and we spoke about all things are possible. And then the last time we shared how it was prayer that we understand that God is more than enough. And because God is more than enough, then we are enough. And we know that he is enough because Jesus fulfilled everything that has been started. So we want you to know we're continuing with the same thought. I'm not even doing this. I just believe God is leading us because, listen, if you don't get anything else, why are we sharing these messages that are kind of so fundamental, I hope, to many, is that we want to become two things, people of prayer. We want to become people of what? Not people that are supposed to be praying, but people of prayer. People of what?
Prayer.
We are supposed to be people of what?
Prayer.
So that we can become people of possibilities. Yeah. Pastor, how are we going to have Pastor Christopher come up here and tell us we're giant slayers without us understand I'm a slayer, but I've got to be found in prayer? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe we are giant slayers. I believe we all got a little rock that we can sling. But I believe that God does so while we're in what?
Prayer.
While we're in what?
Prayer.
So therefore, I want to talk about today, a character of Christ is the practical skill of wait till. A character of Christ, say character of Christ.
Character of Christ.
Pastor Jeremy, I think it is, if it's not him or someone else said this, what we do in teaching the Word of God or what we are sharing or value or focus on is because we believe it's going to help others enter into the things of God. I'll come over here. Pastor Jeremy believes that what we present is because we believe it's what's going to cause people to enter into the things of God. I believe that God wants us, listen, that God wants us to learn how to be people that know how to wait. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
People that learn how to what?
Wait.
There we go, to wait till. The very last one is this one, power to change and grow in success. Power to what?
Change.
And grow in success. Everybody turn their Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. That's not totally what I always may read, but I want to read from the New King James Version. Would you please follow along with me? This is the passage of scripture that I want us to highlight. Just love this message. Listen, verse 1 says this. Mark chapter 9, New King James, starting at verse 1. I would encourage you to read it in your own Bible or your own phone. And he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death, what? Till they see the kingdom of God present with power." I want to stop right here for just a moment. Some of us may not have known that the word till was actually in the scriptures. I know in other English translations it says come again or something of that nature. But in many English translations, especially traditional translations, it actually uses the word till. It uses the word what?
Till.
So Jesus right here in the New King James says this. You're going to see it twice. Verse 1 is the first one. Look at this. Will not taste death what?
Till.
They see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth could whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Everybody see that? Verse 1 and verse 9 uses the word what? Verse 10. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. I want you to now go and jump down to verse 14. Thank you. Verse 14 says this. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. And running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. But wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when they saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one deaf, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And everybody said, "Amen." Amen. We've got a few more minutes to share a few points here that I want you to see, though you may be very familiar with this passage of Scripture. I first of all want to share this with you. When we talk about wait till, say wait till. We just want to cover today from verses 1 down to 14 through 17. So we want to go from 1 to 10, 14 to 17. That's all we're going to cover. So in that section, we find in the whole passage of Scripture, there's at least five waits. There's at least five waits. There's at least five what?
Waits.
I'd like to share with you a few of those waits so you can see how this passage of Scripture is filled with the character of Christ, or this characteristic that we can increase in learning how to wait, and especially wait till. First of all, we see that Jesus, coming out of this moment, when he has just, that Peter has shared with him that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says that flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. He goes to tell them about how he will be going to the cross and crucified. Peter rebukes him. Jesus rebukes the devil. And then they come to this place that Jesus, who has been questioned, now comes to this part where the Scripture says, get this, 6 days later. Say 6 days later. I want you to understand something very vital about this passage of Scripture. When it says 6 days later, this is stoked in some other passage of Scripture. When Moses went up to the mountain of God, he likewise waited 6 days before he went. So when Jesus is doing this, he is doing this because he was waiting to fulfill more than what Moses did. How many understand that there are things that you are supposed to fulfill in life, but you can't do it quickly? You may have to wait till. So there is a wait. But we also see that Jesus tells them that there is going to be some that are standing here that will not see death till they see the kingdom of God coming in glory. Somebody say amen. We have every reason to believe, only because of time, we have every reason to believe that whatever Jesus is about to do is going to reveal the kingdom of God. So whatever we're about to witness, going into verse 2, is Jesus is revealing himself and his kingdom. When he goes up to the mount, he takes 3 witnesses with him. And when he goes up to the mount, the Bible says he was transfigured. He was what? And all of us know that transfigured is also the word transformed. If you don't know it, you should write that down. It's vital. It's the word transformed. So it's not only the word transfigured, but it's also the word what? And if it's the word transfigure, which means the word transform, it also means the Greek word metamorpho. It means what? Which is the same as we all come to know as for the butterfly. What I like to do is give you a little few scriptural backgrounds about that. Is that if it talks about transfigured, which means transform, which means metamorpho, ultimately the definition means to change. It means to what? So whatever the kingdom of God is about, it's about us changing. Whatever we're in need of, get this, it comes from the kingdom, and the kingdom in power, and the power to change. Hallelujah. So may I share this with you? This word is only used 4 times in the Bible. And I love that the actual examples are all these. First of all, one of the other gospels uses the word transfigure when he goes up to the mountain, and he uses the word metamorpho. But it is also the same word, watch this, that deals with in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when it says that we go from glory to glory. So get this. As we behold Jesus, we go from glory to glory. When we are looking at Jesus, when we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, no matter what's going on around us, we go from glory to glory and we become more like what we look at. Hallelujah. If we are looking at the world, we become embodied like the world. But when we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, we become more like him. And we go from glory to glory. That's called promotion. Amen. Hallelujah. Say metamorpho. The 4th time is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. For we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We will be transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind. You see, if we literally are receiving from the Word of God, we're receiving from the Spirit of God, our mind is being renewed. Out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old attitudes and in with the new. Out with the old habits and in with the new. And get this, even if you haven't broken out of it, it doesn't mean the process is wrong. It just means I've got to stay after it. Because sometimes you got to wait. We've got to sometimes stay in it. I don't care. Listen, if one pedestrian walks past, I get ready to put on the gas, and another one walks out, you got to stay there because you got to learn how to wait till. Hallelujah. You cannot grow weary in well-doing because you will reap when you do not faint, cave in, or give up, because you will reap after it goes past. Somebody say amen. Listen, it says transfigured. Don't forget, transfigured means transformed. Transform means what? Metamorpho. Metamorpho means ultimately what? And how many know, no matter who we are, no matter how much we are there, no matter who we look at as our mentor, it doesn't matter who's missing or who is, many of us find ourselves in need of being transformed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Ultimately, God is saying that we will wait till, and oftentimes, get this, are you ready? We're waiting until our change comes. We're waiting until our change comes. We're waiting until our change comes. Because some things that God wants to take you into, you've got to be ready to receive it. You can't just be crushed by the blessing. You've got to be able to be strong enough to uphold the blessing. God wants to share glory, His glory with us in such a measure that we could be found faithful and trustworthy with the promises and the blessings of God. So if we learn how to wait till, we'll be strong when we enter into it. Hallelujah. Say, wait till. We know this, but the Bible says, look at this. It says Jesus was left there. And I wish I could really do this scripture real justice. Can I get the two of y'all stand up for a second? Just stand up right quick. Y'all, listen, the Bible says Moses, we'll let him be Moses, okay?
He's closer in age.
Oh, man. Amen. Y'all can talk about that later, right? And Elijah. Moses and Elijah appear. You say, I've read this passage of scripture. I've taught it. I've done Bible studies on it. But one of the times I was reading for the very first time, I got into it. In other words, that's where it says, I got to see this for real. You see, we can just put this off as being religious when we think of Moses and Elijah. So here's what I did. I said, wait a minute. I don't know what that's like. But how many know Peter, James, and John were not just dealing with Jesus. They was dealing with, they had learned in sabbatical school. They had learned in Shabbat. You know, they had learned Moses. He took the people from bondage into freedom. And can you understand? They're over there looking at him. They're like, that's why Peter started mumbling. I mean, think about it. You're looking at Moses. What do you do when you're looking at a hero? Well, you're looking at the faith. And Elijah is the prophet. He didn't even see death. So you've heard stories about these guys, and now you're looking at them. You see, that would be like me. I would just, you know, I was up on a hill, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King appeared. Are you with me? I'd be like, I didn't read about him in school. I'd be like trying to look on my phone. Is that him? I don't. And Elijah is the prophet, so I think that's like Tupac. Are you with me, right? I'm like, you know, Tupac was a, he was out in the world, but they say he was like a prophet in what he wrote and sang. Like, and I was like, I never listened to him, but I think that's him. My point is, can you be on the mountain with him? Because if you did, all of a sudden, this goes from a religious story to a testimony. This goes from something that's why I have the word real. If you have not been encountered by Jesus, you might think all of this is philosophical. You might think this is all religious until you have encountered with God. But this is what the Father says. Jesus was there talking to them. Are you with me? And when Jesus is talking to them, they fell out. When they woke back up, you can sit back down, they only saw Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. What am I saying? Is that, you know what? It's time to put away our old heroes. It's time to put away relics and ancients and archives and realize all we have need of is only Jesus. Glory to God. If we only need Jesus, then the question is, why wait? Turn to your neighbor and say, why wait? Say, wait till. I just want you to see these notes. You can begin to play, Peter. That's fine. I was ready for you, Sister Doctor. I wanted you to say that word for me, but that's okay. Say, why wait? I want to give you some practical things, if that's okay. Get your notes ready. Listen. There was a study done about what? It was a study done about, you know this, right? About delayed gratification. About delayed what?
Gratification.
You see, the reason this is a needed skill is because it's so much attached to everything else in our lives. Whatever you begin to put your mind on and whatever you begin to think about of what you're wanting to enter into and how much some of us in here are so, you know, we are mesticized by this thought of that I got to get it done and I got to do it this way and I got to take control over it. But there's also another skill that's needed, the skill to know how to wait till. The reason that wait till is a necessary skill is because it's about learning how to have delayed gratification. Delayed what? I'll go fast. Look at this. Do you realize through what is called the marshmallow test, they did a long-term study over those students, and this is what the results was for the students that could not wait for something greater in the future. You see, waiting is not just about going without. Waiting is just what it is. Wait till I can have something better. I'm not going to take this temporary moment to spoil something I can have later. I'm not going to take this temptation because I would rather live in something greater. Say delayed gratification. Look at this. They found out they had better emotional coping skills. When you learn how to wait, you develop better emotional coping skills. Guess what? You have higher rates of educational attainments. It comes all from this one skill called wait till. Look at this. They had higher SAT scores. Get this. I know y'all love this. This is practical. Those people also have lower body mass index. How many know that food is just not just for nutrition and fuel, but it's also become a comfort to some? You see, we've sometimes been distracted where food has become an idol. Oh, I'm preaching better than you shouting right now. Maybe I'm cutting too close. I don't know. But I do know this. If we learn how to wait till, that means cookies don't have to win. If we learn how to wait till, lower divorce rates. Wow. Lower divorce rates as a direct result of wait till. As a direct result of what? Look at this. Lower rates of what? Lower rates of what? You see, some people could just be helped if we learned how to wait. Yeah, I know we spend time praying over them, delivering them from spirits, but if we just learn how to have the character of Christ, to learn how to wait, we could be free from a great deal of things. You stand to your feet. I want to share with you a few answers. I can go over them next week as well. How Christ can lead us to live free. How Christ can lead us to live what?
Free.
Here are a few answers that was found. I've tied them directly with scriptural and spiritual things. First of all, learning how to overcome temptation. Learning how to overcome what?
Temptation.
People have a large gap between intention and actions. How many of you know that's true? How many know we all have good intentions? But we've got to learn how to match it with good what? Number one, the children. Children that would not eat the marshmallow, they apply these characteristics and traits. The first one is avoidance. How many of you know if you got a temptation, you just got to learn how to look the other way? How many of you know I'm not going to keep focusing on it? I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to what?
Avoid.
That's like think and sing. I'm sorry. That's like cover it up, grow older to it. In other words, I'm going to cover it in prayer. I'm going to cover it with the word. I'm going to cover it. Number two says positive distraction. That's when you learn how to sing a melody unto the Lord. How many know Pastor Jeremy just told us, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You say it's not the enemies around you. It's that I'm stronger by the shepherd that is with me. That's how we sing a melody unto the Lord. Number three is called abstraction, where you set your affection upon spiritual and eternal things. I'm not going to yield to temptation because this thing is material and is temporary, but my affection is on the things that are eternal and spiritual. I can't see him, but I can feel him. I know he's there because he's letting me know inside. I'm telling you, you set your affection. That is self-directed speech. Learn how to speak life over yourself. Commitment, contracts. Learn how to agree with God's word. And number six, information and self-control awareness. In other words, we can't overcome something we cannot admit that is a temptation. God wants us to learn how to what? To do what? To wait till. I want to end on this verse right here. God showed me this verse this week, and I want you to see this. It says in Psalms 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord. Stop. I've never seen this. It says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. That's like today preaching and praying. There's one thing I desired of the Lord. There's one thing I've desired of the Lord. But do you realize what the next part of the verse says? That will I seek. Every head bowed. What I mean by that is simply this. David the psalmist says, this is one thing I desire of the Lord. This is one thing I've prayed for, but I'm going to go out and seek after it. Father, we pray that many of us desire to have patience and to learn how to wait till. Father, I pray that you would break this message down in such a way that our hearts are filled with nourishment. Lord God, we believe that when you said, wait till you see the kingdom come. When you said, wait till I am raised from the dead. Lord Jesus Christ, I love that verse that says they held on to that word. God, give us this needed skill so I too can have spiritual success. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a big praise offering, if you will? Thank you, Lord God, for what we have worshiped with together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.